Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. Our text comes from our gospel reading, which includes these words. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, these words of Jesus are beloved by many. In the ESV translation, it reads, "In my Father's house are many rooms." Now, you may have learned it from the King James translation, like I did, which reads, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." As you might have guessed, there are a couple of translation issues and comprehension issues here. Even the punctuation that we're supposed to use is unclear, but there's two things I want to consider. The first is this word translated rooms in ESV and mansions in King James. I'm not a big fan of the rooms translation. It sounds like heaven is just a giant hotel, and we each get a key card and we can swipe our way in or something. Mansions is better, but even for me, that brings to mind a picture of a haunted mansion. So what do we do with this word? Well, the word in Greek is a noun form of the verb that we usually translate as abide or dwell. So we might say, "In my Father's house are many abodes," or "many dwelling places." Or we could just keep it simple, "In my Father's house are many homes." There is a home for each of us in heaven. "Heaven is my home," we sing in the hymn. Home is familiar. It is comfortable. It is the place we long to get to after a long journey. We have a church home, which is a foreshadowing of our home in heaven. Now, on one hand, Jesus is emphasizing that heaven is our home, but he's also emphasizing the number of homes there are in heaven. There is plenty of room there. There is room enough in heaven for all who would believe and have faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's not only 144,000 places in heaven, as some have misinterpreted Revelation 7 throughout the years. No, there's plenty of room for us all. The trickier part is what Jesus says at the end of the verse. It's just four words in Greek. In English, we say, "I go to prepare a place for you." Let's tackle the "prepare a place for you" first. I don't think Jesus is saying that your mansion needs a little bit of paint. He's not going up to heaven to tell the angels to dust and vacuum before you get there. The rooms, the homes, are ready. They always have been. When Christ returns in glory and remakes the heaven and the earth, the rooms, your homes, will be ready, prepared for you, just as God intended them to be. So what does Jesus mean that he goes to prepare a place? The problem isn't that there aren't enough rooms or that they're not already perfect. The problem is really that you and I don't have any right to be there. Not according to our sinful nature. We don't have a reservation. Have you ever made or thought you made a reservation at a hotel when you're going on a long trip, only to get to the front desk, give them your name, and they tell you, "Sorry, we don't have a room for you"? That produces some anxiety. And what if the hotel is full? Then picture yourself arriving at heaven's door, and you walk up to St. Peter, and he's got the book open, and you give him your name, and he says, "Sorry." Our sin prevents us. It bars us from heaven. We have no right to be there according to anything that we have accomplished. By our sin, we are only deserving of a dwelling place in hell. In fact, by all rights, Peter's book should be empty. So in order to prepare our place, Jesus must first take care of this sin problem. We need Jesus to get us into heaven in the first place. We need to be clothed with the right garments to make an appearance in heaven. We need to be given Christ's own righteousness, because on our own we are unrighteous. We need him to write our names in the book of life. Which then leads us to answer the question, where is Jesus going? Now, when you read this section, your first thought might be, well, Jesus is talking about the Father's house, and that's where he's going, maybe referring to his ascension when he returns to the right hand of the Father, and of course that's true. But Jesus speaks these words during an extended discourse from John 14 to 17 when he's talking to his disciples on Maundy Thursday, just hours before he would be betrayed and arrested and prosecuted and tried and sentenced and executed. Jesus is going to the cross. There he will die for our sins, and in so doing, there he will prepare your place in heaven. Jesus' death swings wide open the gates of heaven so that we may dwell there. As he tells the repentant thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise," so it is for you and for me that on account of Christ's death, on account of only his merit, you have a home in the house of his Father, our Father, who art in heaven. But that's not all. Jesus then goes on to reassure his disciples that he will see them again, that he will return and take them to be where he is. And then he tells them that they know the way. Jesus would come and see his disciples after the resurrection, of course. And he, of course, is coming again in glory on the last day, when we will be with him in eternal life, in the new heavens, in the new earth. And in the meantime, he comes to us here in the divine service through his word and the sacrament. He comes in his spirit, he comes in his body, in his blood. But Thomas is confused, and I suspect he wasn't the only one. He asks Jesus, "Lord, we don't even know where you are going. How can we possibly know the way?" Jesus gives the answer we know so well. He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There are not many paths to the dwelling places of heaven. There are not many roads by which we may approach God the Father. There are not many truths. There are not many avenues to eternal life. But the Lord does provide a way, one way. He provides it so we can be certain that we are going the right way. That way is, of course, Jesus. Jesus doesn't merely say he will show us the way to the Father. He says he is the way to the Father. All roads to heaven lead through him. Now, I suspect that that answer probably didn't help Thomas very much. And sometimes it may confuse us as well. But we find clues to what Jesus means throughout Scripture and in Jesus' own words. For example, Jesus told his disciples, take up your cross and follow me. And he told them, you will be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized, referring to his death. Jesus said, the world will hate you. Paul tells us that in our baptisms, we have been crucified with Christ and raised with him. The way to eternal life takes our lives along the way that Jesus went. Our lives are shaped, are formed, are transformed to be like his life. Our sins are wiped clean through Jesus' work on the cross and in our baptisms, and the lives of Christ's people are reflective of his own life. As we walk the way, we walk in the way that he walked. We walk the way of the cross. We, like Jesus, are called to die to our sin, to let go of our pride and our lust and our hate and our anger. We are to forgive as Jesus forgives. We are to love as Jesus loves. Jesus put his own needs, our needs above his own, and we put others' needs above our own. Jesus sacrificed for our good, the good of the church, and we likewise sacrifice our time, our finances, our whatever it is we would rather be doing on a Sunday morning, to be here where he is, for our good and for the good of God's people, the church. This is all the work of Jesus in our lives. Jesus was persecuted and hated, and his word was ridiculed, and we, like Stephen, should expect the same thing. We come to the Father. We come to the Father's house through Jesus. And this is the only way. There is a home for you in heaven. Jesus has prepared a place for you there. Your name is written in the book of life because Jesus has written it there with his own blood. In Christ's resurrection, death is vanquished, and he opens the gates of heaven to us. He alone is the way, the truth, and the life, the way to his Father's house to all who would believe this. Thanks be to God. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.